Today's Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 14. "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." This is the word. "Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Peter came up and said to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, the master ordered him to be sold, with his wives and children and all that he had, in payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So this fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' He refused, and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then the master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all of his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. And whether it's the Old Testament lesson, the epistle, or the gospel lesson, there's one common theme that runs through all three lessons, and that is the key element of forgiveness. Even in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus says to forgive 77 times. What he's getting at is it should be without limit, because who's going to sit there and keep track of 77 times? I tried when I heard this preached many years ago when I was a boy, probably about 10 years old, and I had a younger brother. And younger brothers are annoying. So I had a little notebook, and every time he did something wrong, I put a little tick in it. Because when I hit 78, I was going to pop him good. But my father found out what I was doing and quickly corrected me that I couldn't be doing that. That's where I learned 77 times means without number. When we forgive, we can't just close our eyes and everything goes back to the way it had been. We might have to forgive somebody 77 times. Forgiving once or twice, that's not too difficult. But again and again, how do you forgive? In biblical times, forgiveness was seen as a scale, like the scales that you see in a grocery store or the scales of the Lady Justice. Where there's an offense, the scale is weighed down. And until it's dealt with, the relationship is off balanced. The only way to, quote, balance it out in biblical times, the way they understood it incorrectly, was you had to do something to even the score. Today, we say even, I will get even for that, or I have a score to settle. Justice demands a response, is the way we look at things. Some think that the only way of balancing the scales is revenge. Jesus says, no, forgive instead. The way to get even takes many forms. It takes the form of violence, snubbing, bitter comments. But basic forgiveness does not do any of those things. Forgiving does not mean forgetting. We oftentimes hear that you've got to forgive and forget. No, it's impossible to forget. But we don't have to pretend it didn't hurt, and we don't have to pretend that it wasn't terrible or evil. Forgiving does not mean there's no account for criminal actions, and it doesn't mean we let other people walk all over us. Forgiving means that you're not spending your time and energy plotting and scheming and punishing. It means you make a conscious effort not to lower yourself to their level. It means not becoming spiritually ugly. When someone does something against you, it's like a prison if we don't forgive. And the key to that prison is to realize how much you have been forgiven. So to forgive means we have to understand how much we have been given. Even recent psychological research shows that the people who are best at forgiving are ones who have been forgiven of something serious and have been affirmed of their worth of the person themselves. I've been given so much, how can I withhold forgiveness from someone else? Jesus tells a story to illustrate this point. The king summons a man who owes him a lot of money. Now, one thing Jesus leaves out of this story is what a palace looked like in the ancient world. The king sat up on a level of stairs. So the number of stairs showed how important the king was. And when the king summoned you, you didn't just take your time walking up the stairs. Okay? You didn't take your time. You had to run. So you had to run all the way up the stairs to the king. I don't know about you, but if I ran a whole flight of stairs or two, I'd be out of breath at the end of it. And that was kind of the idea, to put the person in their place before the king. So the king looks at him and says, it says here you owe me a lot of money, 10,000 talents, and I want to collect it today. And the servant says, oh yes, no, I mean, I don't have the 10,000 talents on me at the moment. But if you just give a little patience and give me a little time, I'll repay it all. So the king then discusses with his advisors what he's supposed to do. And I'm sure the man is thinking, is he going to sell me into slavery, my wife, my children, take all my possessions, my furniture, the tools of the trade, animals, herds, and put an entire family in the jail until the debt is paid for? So he gets on his knees and he begs for time. And then the king amazingly tears up the record of debt and says, I forgive you this debt. You are free and clear. Go in peace. Can you imagine the joy of being freed of an incredible debt? It should have changed his life, but not so quick. It doesn't. He goes down the stairs and he finds another servant who owes him 10,000 denarii, which is the equivalent of about $20. Or in Jesus' time, about 3 months' worth of wages. So make a comparison of the debt, 10,000 talents of silver versus $20. By the way, 10,000 talents of silver is about $1.6 trillion today, or in Jesus' time, 160,000 years of labor. And he tells the man, pay me what you owe. And the second man pleads with the first man using the exact same words the first man used with the king. And he refused to have mercy on him and threw him off to jail. And a large group of servants saw this exchange between the two men. And they went to the majesty and said, Your Majesty, you're not going to believe what we just heard. So the king summons the man back to him. And he says, didn't I just see you basically a little while ago? Right, if I remember right, I forgave you a big debt. And then what's this I hear about you refusing to release a man of a measly $20? You sent him to jail for that? Well, I got news for you. You're going to jail until you pay off all of your debts. This was meant to be a funny story to Jesus' listeners originally, because $1.6 trillion was 10 times the gross domestic product of the entire Roman Empire. Nobody could owe that much money. People would have laughed at Jesus' story for exaggerating so much. But the middle of the story, he's down on his knees begging for a little time. 160,000 years worth of wages to repay the debt, and he wants just a little time? This guy doesn't have a good grip of reality. But anyways, the story has always kind of bothered me. Because the king forgives the debt and then turns around and takes the forgiveness back. I always thought once forgiveness was given, it could never be taken back. And why was this man so unforgiving after receiving so much forgiven himself? He wasn't able to accept the gift of forgiveness. If he had accepted the gift, realizing what it means, he would have canceled his friend's debt. The first man must have believed in the old way of thinking, rely on your own and never take anything from anybody. It's kind of like some people can't accept a compliment. If a friend of yours shows up at the door holding a package and says, I bought this for you, what's the first thing you generally say to them? Thank you, probably, but then you shouldn't have. Well, wait a minute. Of course they shouldn't have. Otherwise, it would be fulfilling an obligation for services rendered, not a gift. Some have troubles accepting the gift from God. We must do something, goes the thinking, to earn what God has given us. And God has forgiven us our sins. We cannot earn it. Why does God do this? God loves us. Simply, God loves us. God loves us is why he forgives us our sins. This morning, we have come into the king's palace, and we climb the stairs, and the book is brought forward, and our name is found. And it says right here, the king points out, that you owe me. Can this be right? Give me $1,000,000,000. $1,000,000,000 is one number higher than a trillion. I just made it up. But can that possibly be right? We say, no, we've never done anything that bad. Or he or she was worse than me. We get blinded by how much our sin hurts God and how it hurts ourselves. But consider how much you owe God. To the king's question, do you owe this? We have to say, I owe it. Every one of us must confess before God that we are in debt so much that even 160,000 years of labor could not possibly put a dent into the debt we owe. You know what God does? He tears the sheet out of the book, tears it into little pieces, and says, I forgive you this debt. You are free and clear. Go in peace. Through Christ, God wants to give us this gift. And in the name of Jesus, we are forgiven. Hear those words. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Because it's easy to forgive others once you have accepted and received the grace and mercy from God. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.